The following is a CA original.
Pouncer, the Palm Squad. Pre- and post-game parties on Beale Street. It's all part of the Memphis Tigers basketball game day experience. This is the Tiger Basketball Podcast.
What's happening, Tiger basketball fans? We are back after a COVID-19 pause for another edition of the Tiger Basketball Podcast. I'm Mark Giannato, the Commercial Appeal sports columnist. I'm joined, as always, by our Tiger Basketball beat writer, Jason Munns. We are coming to you on the heels of Memphis's first game in 18 days, a 61-46 win over Tulane, which sets the stage for a 2 or 3 week sprint here to Selection Sunday. Less than 3 weeks sprint to Selection Sunday, where Memphis can potentially end an NCAA tournament drought that began following the 2013-14 season. They can either earn their way in, or they can, or the drought will continue. It's going to be a compelling few weeks, and the drama, I guess, began last night when Memphis finally returned to the court after this COVID-19 pause. So today we'll get into the Tulane game. We'll break that down a little bit. What Memphis looked like in its first game back in 18 days. We'll talk about the road ahead. The next week or so, what game will Memphis be making up a postponed game? What will the schedule look like? What do they need to do to feel any sort of comfort going into Selection Sunday and the conference tournament? We'll dig into that as well. But wanted to start, Jason, I guess, with your just I think last night was all about against Tulane was about just getting back out there.
Survive in advance, baby. Survive in advance.
Yeah, don't lose the game and get your feet, sort of start the process of getting your feet back under you. And in that regard, I felt like it was mission accomplished. Like, it wasn't the prettiest game. They had a season high, a season worst 26 turnovers, but for the most part, they were, they looked fine. They didn't look good enough to go beat Houston, but I don't know if anyone was expecting them to look like good enough to go beat Houston in the first game back. What were your impressions of the Tigers in this one, coming back from such a long break?
Well, you're talking about expectations. I think there probably was a sizable group of people who probably expected worse than what the Tigers showed last night. I mean, yeah, they turned the ball over 26 times. They didn't shoot the ball very well, but they won. They like Alex Lomax, who we've spent the last month talking about how as he goes, so go the Tigers, and yet that was disproven last night. I mean, he did not have a very good game, and yet the Tigers still won by 15 points. They beat a Tulane team that, yes, they're not very good, but they beat Tulsa.
Well, here's what I would point out about this Tulane game. Go look at what Tulane's done this year. The only team to beat Tulane by more points than Memphis beat, only AAC team to beat Tulane by more points than Memphis beat Tulane last night, is Houston.
Yeah.
They were not losing to teams by double digits. And yes, there were some, I guess, concerning things, namely the turnovers, which have been an issue for this team for 2 years, for multiple years, going on multiple years now. But I thought, defensively, it was one of the best games they've played defensively under Penny Hardaway, and that's saying something because they've been really good defensively under Penny Hardaway. Yeah. I mean, 46 points is the fewest points a Penny Hardaway coach team has allowed against an AAC team, and Tulane, if you look at it, they just, you know, Penny said it, they followed the game plan really well. Like, Tulane was a team, part of the reason why they were competitive this year, why they weren't losing by double digits to teams very often, was because they led the AAC in assist to turnover ratio entering Saturday. Well, they had 3 assists and 16 turnovers against Memphis and also shot 25% from the field. Now, they're a horrible shooting team generally, but they sort of make up for it with being a good free throw shooting team and not turning the ball over. And Memphis forced, like, you know, they played right into Memphis's hands, but I think Memphis kind of guided them there, you know, with their defensive intensity. Like, it was, yeah, it part of the problem, you don't just score 46 points and it's just the defense or it's just off. Like, you know, Tulane contributed to that by being bad, but I think a lot of credit goes to the Memphis defense as well, because they came out and played with an intensity that allowed them to kind of have it. It gave them time to figure it out on offense. And personally, I think at least for the next 2 games, Cincinnati and USF, I think if you can replicate the defensive performance you had against Tulane, it buys you some time to figure it out offensively, where we've seen it takes maybe a couple games for these teams that return from COVID pause. It takes them a couple games to get their rhythm back.
Yeah, I was looking at the numbers just now. Tulane shot 25.9%. Memphis held Tulane to 25.9% from the field, which sounds really good, and it is. It's the lowest field goal percentage for an opponent, for a Memphis opponent this season, but it's not even the lowest in the last 2 years. Believe it or not, Tennessee last year shot 25%. Against Memphis and scored just 47 points. That was just something that I thought was, I mean, they turned the ball over a bunch. Tulane did. They got out rebounded by a ton. I agree with your point that, that Memphis took care of business, did what it was supposed to do. And if they're going to only get better, if they're only going to come along,
you'd assume the offense is going to get better. Like, they're going to Memphis shot under 40% last night. You would assume they won't shoot under 40% moving forward, hopefully.
Yes, you would assume Alex Lomax would play better than he did last night. I don't have the numbers in front of me exactly what he did, but I don't think it was very very pretty. And so, yeah, I mean, like, just imagine if he was on last night. Imagine how much better, how much worse the final score would have looked. So,
I sensed some angst from that performance because the turnover number was so high, and it was, you know, very high. But I felt, if anything, the way my emotions have kind of gone through this period is before the COVID pause happened, you know, you felt like increasingly good that, like, the Tigers had a shot, you know, that the Tigers might be, you know, they were picking up momentum. They were, you know, looking better. And you just felt like, okay, they've got a legitimate chance to play their way back into an at-large berth, which was something it felt like, a few weeks before that, it didn't seem nearly as feasible as it did. Then the pause happened, and honestly, I feel like as the pause went on, and as these games got more and more games got postponed, and we got closer and closer to the end of the regular season for Memphis coming back, I felt like my thought process was, I felt like it, in my mind, it diminished their chances of earning an at-large berth. Like, as we went through it, at no point did I think it was impossible, But I just didn't feel quite as good about the situation as I did before the COVID pause, you know, just because the limited number of games and kind of this starting from a standstill and going into a dead sprint to close the year right off the bat. Like, I didn't know. I felt worse. And I found last night's win over Tulane to be reassuring. I don't know if I feel all the way back as good as I did before the COVID pause, but I think I feel better today than I did before the ball was tipped yesterday against Tulane, that they can get their act together enough to figure it out down the stretch here and win the number of games they need to win. Because that's what we should talk about next is, you know, what is the path to the NCAA tournament? What does it look like? Especially because we don't know what the schedule is going to look like. The latest, as we record this at like 11 a.m. on Thursday, and I put the time because this thing could, you know, there's going to be announcements, but Memphis has had its game next week against South Florida moved from Wednesday to Tuesday, and there's been no corresponding move announced, but presumably they're doing that, the AAC, in order for Memphis to play on Thursday or Friday. Now, AAC Commissioner Mike Oresko spoke to the Wichita Eagle because Wichita State had its games this week against SMU wiped out because SMU's been on a COVID pause. And what Mike Oresko told the Wichita Eagle is that they are going to do this over this last week of the season. They are going to do their best as a league to, I guess, add games on the schedule that are going to present opportunities for the league's bubble teams. So Memphis, Wichita State, SMU, they're going to get priority. It's something, you know, we've discussed a little bit at times, whether on the radio or in columns, whatever. And if you listen, if you read the Wichita report, the Wichita Eagle report, they're reporting that at the very least, Wichita State seems to think it's going to play Memphis next week, that the game that's going to be on Thursday or Friday next week that will be replaced is the at Wichita State game that got postponed by Memphis's COVID-19 pause. Now, there's also an at Houston game that got postponed due to that COVID-19 pause. And I think, and Penny thinks, he said it last night, like if Memphis can only replace one game that they've missed along the way, I think you'd prefer it to be Houston, because what's become clear, you know, we can debate whether they have an at-large chance or not, you know, like how good their shot is at working their way back into, you know, being on the right side of the bubble here down the stretch. But there's no scenario where their name to it feels where their name is called on Selection Sunday and they don't have a win over Houston. And so you probably want to, yeah, I think you'd probably prefer two cracks at Houston. I'm not sure how a added Wichita State game, quite frankly, I'm not sure how it helps you that much beating Wichita State. I know it would technically be a quad one win
today,
beating Wichita State today. But ultimately, you're going to be judged on whether you beat Houston, because the fatal flaw right now in the Memphis resume, their numbers are, you know, the numbers aren't great, but they're also not disqualifying the computer numbers. You know, they're like 45 in KenPom, and I don't know what they moved up to in the net. They're probably like at 60.
They did not move up. They're still at 62.
62. So you'd probably like, you know, you want your net to probably be in the top 50. And you want your KenPom rating to be in the top 40 when all said and done.
Two games against Houston as opposed to one game against Wichita, one game against Houston will give you the best opportunity to make – it will give you the most the best chance to move up.
Well, and when Joe Lunardi's spoken to you, when he's spoken to other people about Memphis's resume – I mean, he said basically one of the things of the fatal flaw right now in the Memphis resume is they don't have a win over a tournament team this year. They have not beaten a team that is currently projected to be in the NCAA tournament. Memphis's two best wins are SMU at home and Wichita State at home. And Houston is a tournament team. You know, like they are firmly in the field. And so that's why that win is so important, I think, to kind of help, you know, you're trying to spin a narrative if you're Memphis here, because you don't have the impressive non-conference wins and you're not in a league with a ton of impressive, quad one opportunities. You're trying to spin a narrative, one, based on solid computer metrics, which if you win out and beat Houston, your computer metrics are going to be pretty good. And you're spinning a narrative of, you know, not only are we the second best team in the AAC, we might be the best team in the AAC because we beat Houston. And if, frankly, if Memphis wins out and beat, you know, the one benefit of having Wichita State added to the schedule next week rather than Houston, Memphis truly controls its own destiny in the conference championship race in terms of the regular season title. They beat you, they win every game, including a game over Wichita State and Houston. They're going to win the regular season conference title. Again, another feather to help with this narrative that Memphis is going to have to build, if you will, for Selection Sunday. It's, you know, it's we're closing the year as one of the hottest teams in the country, which is what they'd be if they can pull this off and beat Cincinnati, beat USF, beat Wichita State or Houston in that makeup game, and then beat Houston to close the year. You'd be one of the hottest teams in the country.
Yeah,
you'd be the regular season champion, and you'd have a 3-1 record against the three other best teams in the conference. In this scenario, that's the type of narrative you're going to need to build to overcome the fact that the committee is going to look at your wins and go, they didn't beat anyone but Houston, who's a tournament team, and they lost all their decent non-conference games. They lost all the non-conference games that actually mattered. So it was important to get the Tulane game, because you figure that was the biggest game where the risk of rust could derail you. You've got to now. I feel better because I thought they looked decent enough, and I think they'll look better at Cincinnati on Sunday because, you know, it will have been basically a week since they got back to practice at that point. And I don't know. I feel hopeful. I don't know if I'd say it's a better than 50% chance that they do this. It's probably, if you probably go by, you know, a statistician out there will probably calculate it's far less than a 50% chance that Memphis isn't, you know, is able to do enough, win enough to get an at-large berth. But I don't know. I just feel, I feel hope after that Tulane game that they can just with that formula of kind of mucking it up and playing great defense, that certainly at least for the next couple games, that'll be enough while they get their legs under them. And then, you know, hopefully they can, if they can get back to playing offensively the way they were playing, or at least the way they were shooting before the COVID-19 pause over the next week, they have a real chance at beating Wichita State and Houston because they're good enough. And, you know, neither of those teams, I mean, they've already beaten Wichita State by 20, and Houston has shown it's beatable.
Well, I hear you. I hear all that, Mark, but allow me to sort of balance the scales here. Allow me to rain on your hopeful parade, give you some food for thought here. So they're going to Cincinnati, right? Going to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm.
They haven't won there in a while. I looked it up last night.
You did. And it's the last time I found the exact date. It was December 3rd, 2005. It was the last time they won at Cincinnati.
Are you sure? I thought the 07-08 team won there. Is that wrong?
Yeah, I think that's wrong. Let me double check though. Hang on, I got it right in front of me.
I got the record book right here.
Oh, you're right. 07, 08.
Yeah. The last time they won was the national championship game year at Cincinnati. It's a span of seven games. They played seven times at Cincinnati. Seven since then. And they've lost every game at Cincinnati since then. 07, 08. They won, yeah, but they won in 79, 69, 07, 08. And they've lost total seven of their last eight games against Cincinnati, although the one win during that span was last year at FedEx Forum, when very, very similarly to the Tulane game, Memphis beat them 60-49, I believe, something like that. But they held them under 50, they held Cincinnati under 50 points. But Cincinnati, this is the dangerous one, it feels like. If you look at, you know, obviously Tulane was a home game, first of all, which made it a little easier, I think. But if you look at Cincinnati, they've played increasingly, like, they're having a disappointing year. They're 8-8, but they've won five of their past six and six of their last eight. And their only losses during that eight game span are to Wichita State and Houston. Now they got blown out by Houston last weekend. But they're playing better basketball now. Cincinnati is, and they're tough to beat at home. They just always have been. Like during this stretch, the Wichita State and Houston losses they suffered were both road games. During this stretch, they've won. They've only had two home games. Now, the one thing that Memphis has going to its benefit in this game against Cincinnati is Cincinnati, I believe, Jason, they played last night. While Memphis was playing Tulane, Cincinnati beat Tulsa by 1 point. They then play Tulane tomorrow night, Friday, in Cincinnati, and then play Memphis Sunday. So they will be playing their third game in 5 days when they play Memphis on Sunday. There is a fatigue factor at play here for Cincinnati.
But if history, so going back to, I stand corrected on the last time they won at Cincinnati. So thank you for that. But I dug a little bit deeper. So get this, Cincinnati has the second most wins against the Tigers of any team they've ever played.
Mm-hmm. They've also played them a lot because they've been in the same conference a lot. But yeah, yes,
that's true. So, but Cincinnati has 47 wins against the Tigers, and they've got a plus 14 in the win loss. They've won 14 more games than they've lost against the Tigers, and that is the second largest win loss differential. The only team to have beaten Memphis more times than Cincinnati in history is Louisville, and Louisville's win loss differential is plus 18. So that's the kind of.
By the way, I think it's 13. I think because you're not counting one of the wins. They don't count one of the wins officially because of the Derrick Rose year. Like the year technically, if you're going by the official rule book, that win they have over Cincinnati in 07-08. Isn't an official win because it was taken out of the record book because of the Derrick Rose stuff in that 07-08 year.
You're just a fact-checking fool today.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, that is still a that's something that that can't be ignored.
Well, and to show so 05-06 now, Jason, is technically the last official win over Cincinnati, the last record book win over Cincinnati, if you will. And then you add on to that, you're going to play South Florida on Saturday. And this Cincinnati game just feels more dangerous. You look at South Florida, on the other hand, where Cincinnati's won six of its last eight. South Florida's lost three of four. And it includes a 18-point home loss to Temple last night. That's a game, you know, it feels like South Florida has kind of let go of the rope here a little bit, down the stretch. They're 8-9 this season, but, if Memphis can take care of business, it is setting up for one heck of a end to the regular season, where whether it's Wichita State or Houston next Thursday or Friday, and then the Houston game at home a week from Sunday on national TV on CBS, it's going to like, it will, if they can take care of business against Cincinnati and South Florida, it sets up, I mean, honestly, maybe two of the biggest games Memphis basketball has played. I mean, really, I mean, the only other ones I can think of in terms of, like, there's been bigger games, I guess, you know, the Tennessee game last year was big, but in terms of the stakes at the end of the year, you know, where you feel like, you know, it could set up most meaningful games since probably they were in the AAC tournament championship game in what, 2016, I think, or 2015, one of those years when they lost to UConn. But like, and then other than that, it's, you know, since they were last in the tournament, I mean, this feels like the closest they've been, you know. It's not saying, again, an at-large berth, there's a better than 50% chance they get an at-large berth. There's not. It's not that big of a chance. There's a lot of things that have to happen in order for it to happen. That being said, they are as close to an at-large berth as they've ever been since this drought began. Like, there's actually – it's February 25th, and there's actually a reasonable way they can pull it off. I'm pretty sure over the last 6-7 years – on February 25th, it didn't feel as reasonable as it does right now in the past. It, certainly since I've been here in 2017, it's never felt you like last year, you could pretend, I guess, that Memphis had a chance at being an at-large team, but you were having to do some mental gymnastics to get there. You know, same with under Tubby, both years under Tubby, that was the same thing. You could, like, I guess, like, theoretically pretend Memphis was, you know, a few wins away from being in the bubble conversation, but it was like, it was hard. You had to really suspend a lot of reality in order to get there. And I don't think you have to do that in this situation. I think it's very clear if they can take care of business these next two, they set themselves up with a platform that can at the very least make it a very, very interesting selection Sunday.
Yeah, that's kind of after the way the last 7 years have gone. I mean, is that, can you ask for much more? I mean,
well, I mean, I think the goal, I mean, I'll say this, let's not move the goalposts too much. We said coming into this year, didn't matter how you did it, it didn't matter what seed you were, whatever. The goal this year was to get the program back to the NCAA tournament, and anything other than that was going to feel like a disappointment. And I think that's where I'm at. After all the COVID pauses, after the disappointing start, after, you know, the DeAndre Williams situation where he can't play at the beginning of the year, after they go on this hot streak, after this newest pause, after two pauses, one that's their fault, one that's not their fault, one that's because they got COVID, one because a bunch of their opponents got COVID. Here we are, and I think we still should think about it the same way. If the goal this year is to make the NCAA tournament, this team is good enough to make the NCAA tournament, they got to go out and make the NCAA tournament. And if they don't, I think you're going to come away and feel like the season's a disappointment to a certain extent. I don't know. Maybe I'm, you know, I know there's a lot going on in the world, but I feel like this should be a tournament team. And they dug themselves a hole, and they've started to dig out of it. And, you know, hopefully here over the last couple of weeks, they can finish that dig, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's all true. And certainly all true, but we should also not discount the fact that no matter, like, let's say they lose a game and going into the AAC tournament, they're still on the outside looking in. They haven't done enough. You know, that's the general consensus. The deal is not done. They've not sewn up a first round bye by any stretch, but they're in a really good position to do that here in the next couple of games. And this, I mean, this team is as capable as any other, I believe, in the AAC of winning three games in 3 days and getting itself, you know, making all this at-large possibility, this whole discussion about an at-large possibility completely moot. I feel like that should be at least mentioned as well.
And in recent years, I don't think they've gotten that by. Like, winning four games in 4 days is, even though it's just one game, that one game is a big difference. Like,
it is.
Winning three games in 3 days is just it's a much easier task.
Yep.
Because it's that third game where you start to run out of gas. But when the third game becomes a winning you're in situation, that's when adrenaline can overcome that, you know, the magic of March, if you will. That's when that type of stuff can happen. And I think you're right. I think they're very capable of, you know, of winning the conference tournament. They've shown that if they, like, the way they play defense, they don't have to play that well on offense, even against the best teams in this league. Like, I think one of the things that benefits Memphis is they match up better against Houston, I think, than anyone else in the league. They've got the long guards and athletes to be able to match up with Houston better than anyone else. Now, that being said, those games against Houston become like just battles of toughness and will. Because that's what you have to do to beat Houston. You got to out-tough them, which is difficult because they are tough. And Kelvin State, they're just naturally tough. But when you saw that, the formula of Wichita State did, and it's sort of a formula that Memphis used last night against Tulane, is like they outworked them on the glass, out-toughed them. Out-battled them. And that's kind of what Memphis did against Tulane. And obviously Tulane is not nearly what Houston is, but I mean, they out-rebounded them 53-29, Memphis did. Like, they just kind of, they didn't rely on skill. They relied on their physical attributes, if you will, like their superior athleticism and size, and just their toughness and relentlessness on defense. And I think that's a formula, especially in the postseason, when sometimes shots don't fall. Like, I just think – I think if Memphis can somehow get in, they're going to be tough to beat. Like, they have a type of team that can go on a run in the tournament because they're talented enough to where, you know, Boogie Ellis can pop off in a game. DJ can pop off in a game. Landers can pop off in a game. DeAndre Williams could pop off in a game. And then you add on the fact that they play not just really good defense, but kind of a diverse defense. They play defense in a way, a run and jump, scrap it up style. Not many teams in the country play. They're going to be really hard to prepare for. I just think There's ingredients there for a magical run here. It's just, can they pull it off? Can they, you know, it's about going on one of those runs. The teams I think of are some, remember like the Connecticut team that was like a 7 seed, you know, and went to the Final Four with Shabazz Napier, the Syracuse team with Jerry McNamara, that like stampeded through the conference tournament and like went from a fringe bubble team to a juggernaut that was really tough to beat. You know, they didn't win a championship, but they got hot, you know, and just the magic of March kind of took over. And, you know, it's possible to do that. We've seen it before. And I don't know. I'm just really excited to see if Memphis can do it. Like, I just want to see them keep winning because with each win, the stakes get higher and the games get more exciting. And it's like everything you love about college basketball. That's what we could be seeing here over the next week and a half or so for Memphis. So, and Tulane was the first step. Cincinnati's the second step. Hopefully they can avoid these next two landmines against Cincinnati and USF, and they set the stage for, you know, a really memorable week, if you will, week and a half, to close the regular season and then going into the conference tournament.
The other tough thing about this that we haven't really talked about is how it's been indicated to me that Memphis is not going to return home once they leave for Cincinnati. They are going to go to Cincinnati. They're going to go straight from there to Tampa. They're going to go straight from Tampa to either Wichita or Houston, most likely. And then they'll come home. So like the next, you know, 7-ish days, 6 days or whatever, they're going to be on the road completely.
Yeah. They're going to just be on a, they're going to be flying from, they'll go to Cincinnati probably Saturday. Right. Get there Saturday evening, Saturday late afternoon, then play Cincinnati Sunday. Fly to Tampa
Sunday night
or whatever, Monday morning, whatever they want to do. Yeah. No, yeah, probably Sunday afternoon because the Cincinnati game is
so early. Yeah.
Early. Then you play USF on Tuesday. You're in Tampa Monday, play USF Tuesday. Then
fly to
either Wichita State or Houston probably for a Thursday or Friday game.
Yep.
And then come home. And then come home for that giant game at home against Houston in the regular season finale. No, you're right. It's going to be, you know, I put it in my column at commercialappeal.com off the Tulane game. I thought the NCAA tournament started yesterday for Memphis in a lot of ways. Yeah. Here we go. Like this is, it's, you can't, you're playing games. You really can't lose. Like Cincinnati is a, you lose to Cincinnati. I mean, honestly, at that point, you can kiss your at-large berths goodbye. I know, yes, you could maybe work your way back in by beating Houston and Wichita State, but that bad loss, to me, that would probably be the death knell of the at-large berth. You lose to Cincinnati or USF. So those are must-win games. And then at Wichita State, like, you know, I don't know how much it helps you, but I do think another loss could hurt you. And certainly it would mean you're not going to be the conference regular season champion if you lose to Wichita State. And then Houston, we said you have to beat Houston. You need a win over Houston on your resume. None of this means anything if you don't have a win over Houston on your resume, whether it's, I guess, the regular season finale or I guess potentially the conference championship game. But that could be in the, you know, at that point, might as well just win the conference tournament.
Yeah, maybe too little too late there. Yeah, as Joe Lunardi put it to me when I spoke to him a week or two ago, Memphis has to move the needle. They haven't moved the needle yet, and the only thing left on their schedule that is a move-the-needle type event is beating Houston. And so until they do that, it's all, you know, without doing that, it's they're going to come up short.
Well, we shall see how this unfolds, Jason. Again, Memphis at Cincinnati Sunday. We will have plenty of coverage of everything Memphis basketball related over at commercialappeal.com. The latest on the schedule, what game is going to get put into that slot next week? Is it Wichita State? Is it Houston? We'll have full details over at commercialappeal.com whenever that breaks. We'll have tons of coverage again of everything that's happening here. It's going to be an exciting next couple weeks if you're a Memphis basketball fan. Hopefully the team can keep it rolling now that they're finally back from this COVID-19 pause. All right, till next time, hopefully next week, hopefully this is the last time we'll have no, you know, games postponed the rest of the year. But till next time, I was Mark. I was joined by Jason. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your week and the weekend.
The Tiger Basketball Podcast is a production of the Commercial Appeal.